How's everyone doing this morning? God is good. And all the time. Hopefully you guys had a blessed week. If not, I'm praying for you. Okay. So welcome to church. I want to start off by praying that everything that is said is not of me and of God. So let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we just thank you and praise you that I get the opportunity again to speak in front of these amazing and wonderful people, Lord God. I just pray that whatever is said today is not of me, but of you, and that whatever is said, they go back into their Bibles and make sure not to take my full word for it, but your full word for it, Lord, as your word is truth. And we just thank you and praise you for your word, and we pray that today goes well, and then we might leave learning something and adding and applying something to our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. So I worked full time this week. It was not fun, let's just say. I had to clean everything. Woo! Cleaning. Woot woot. Raise your hand if you love cleaning. That's what, yeah, you guys are liars. But I got paid to go to college to help pay for my college, so you just got to do what you got to do. But at the same time, I was praying and wondering what I should speak on and thinking, and I have the biggest imagination you could ever think of. Raise your hand if you love to imagine, if you have a big imagination. Amen to that. So as I was cleaning offices and all these types of things, I started thinking, what should I preach? What type of example should I use? And all that kind of stuff. And then my mind went ahead and started making a story. Because that's what you do when you clean, right? So I went ahead and I started thinking, and I was like, what could go with this and that? And it just started going. So I'm cleaning and I have gloves on, and I'm taking my gloves off, typing on my phone what I need to remember, putting my gloves back on, going back and forth. There's a lot of back and forth, let's just say. So I thought that I might as well just go ahead and tell you the story that I thought of this week, that I just made up out of the blue, out of my mind, that I was cleaning. I thought it would be fun. And what's a story without pictures? So I got some pictures to go with the story. The story is called Which Doctor Are You? So once upon a time, I was just in the park playing with my friend Johnny. We were just playing, throwing a ball, you know, just having some fun. And all of a sudden, just completely out of the blue, he screams, ouch. He starts screaming in pain, just fully in pain. And I'm just wondering, what's going on? And all of a sudden, I look at him, and he's just grabbing his shoulder and his arm. Because he's in so much pain, and we were just having fun. We were having a great time, and all of a sudden, the mood changed, everything changed since he hurt himself. So I thought, well, I'll be a good friend and bring him to the doctors. So we got in the car, drove him to the doctors, and went and seen the doctor. I don't know if I trust that doctor, but anyways. Went and seen the doctor. The moment we entered the doctor's office, the doctor sees us. And he sees my friend holding onto his shoulder, his arm, and the moment he saw him, without even making analysis, or asking any questions, he went ahead and he went, we need to amputate your arm. He just looked at him and said, we need to amputate your arm right now. Without even asking him questions, without even checking his arm, we're just going to cut off your arm right now. So we're just going to take a sword and just completely cut off your arm, you know, because that's how you amputate. So my friend right away and I started freaking out. We started worrying and we were like, what? We were just playing and all of a sudden he hurt himself and you're telling us we need to cut off his arm? Whoa, stop. Stop for a second there. Stop. Whoa, let's take a step back. You just saw him for 2 seconds. You saw him grabbing his arm, and you thought you knew what it was about? You thought that he needed to cut his arm off? Wait a minute. I'd like to speak to another doctor who will actually do an actual assessment and actually determine what the actual problem is before you make a jump ahead and decide to cut off his arm. So we get another doctor. He's super nice, super friendly. He goes through all the checklists that he needs to do and gets to know what's going on. So he started asking us questions, me and my friend. He's like, what were you guys doing before you hurt your arm? We were playing baseball. So the doctor's like, okay, so maybe you might have done this to your arm because you threw too hard or anything like that. And so he started checking his arm, moving his arm, and seeing what's going on. And then after he just determined that we actually don't need to cut off your arm, you just pulled a muscle while playing baseball. So all you need is to ice it, keep it elevated, and all this types of stuff. So we were automatically very happy about this. But then we wondered if we would have listened to the other doctor or if we would have been the other doctor who just looked at them for 2 seconds and said, we need to amputate. He would have gotten his arm cut off with no reason. He would have lost his arm for, what, a pulled muscle? So we were glad we got to see the other doctor who got to know us and got to find out and see what the actual situation was about before he jumped ahead into conclusion. So how many times do we go ahead and see someone that they're hurting or in pain, and we automatically start thinking, oh, they need this, so I'm going to tell them this. Oh, they need that. But in reality, that's not what they need, because we didn't take the chance to get to know them, and we start judging them right away or start assuming that that's what they need. In reality, it's not. Jimmy, if you can get the video. So I'm going to put on a video that I've been watching over and over and just thinking, and if you can get it on the big screen, I don't know if it will go big. If not, yeah, that one right there. Perfect. All right. You can make the whole screen bigger. Yeah, perfect. Can we get the volume?
Shout outs and giveaway winners.
Restart.
Don't come over. Hey, brother. You got some.
Hey, guys, it's Dar. The video you're about to watch is about not judging someone without knowing their story. I hope you love this video and make sure to stay till the end for shout outs and giveaway winners.
Don't come over. Hey, brother. You got some spare change? Anything will help, man.
Help? I mean, if you weren't so lazy, you wouldn't be homeless. Maybe you should stop doing drugs and drinking so much alcohol.
No. I don't want it. I said I don't want it!
Geez, great parenting, lady. Maybe if you focused on your child, she wouldn't be such a brat.
Support the troops?
Oh, look at this guy. Why are you still wearing that uniform? You know the war is over, right? No one's gonna buy toys from you looking like that. Hey, maybe if you watch where you're going, you wouldn't bump into people.
Oh, I'm so sorry. If I still had my vision, I'm sure I would have noticed you.
Oh, well, I had no idea. I'm sorry.
Promise me this, that before you go judging someone again, that you'll find out what they're going through first. Good day, young man.
Excuse me. I'm sorry if I was rude earlier. How much for one of your toys?
$5.
And if, I don't mean to pry, but why do you still wear your uniform? I mean, you know the war is over, right?
I was one of the lucky few in my company to make it back alive. But my best friend wasn't so lucky. I sell these toys to help his family. And I wear this uniform every day in honor of him.
I'm really sorry for judging you earlier. You're a great friend.
Thank you.
Thanks for your service.
I appreciate you talking to me.
Excuse me? Ma'am, hi. I'm so sorry to bother you. I just heard your daughter a little upset earlier, and I thought that this might cheer her up.
Thank you so much. You don't know how much this means to us. This is actually my granddaughter. I lost my daughter yesterday in a car accident. And this is our first day out without her.
I had no idea. I'm really sorry about earlier, and I'm so sorry for your loss.
Thank you. Here. I want you to have this.
Oh, no, ma'am. I couldn't.
No, really, take it, please. It'll make me feel so much better.
I hope things get better for you. Sorry about earlier. You can have this.
God bless you, sir.
If you don't mind me saying, there's lots of drug and alcohol facilities around here.
Drugs and alcohol? I've never done a drug or drank in my life.
Well then, how did you end up homeless?
I lost my job. I used to be a counselor to help people overcome their drug and alcohol addictions. And now, they think of me as some addict. How's that for irony?
Well, I guess you never really know someone's story until you hear them out.
Hey man, why are you giving that homeless man money? They're all the same. He's gonna spend his money on alcohol and on drugs.
Actually, that couldn't be further from the truth. Believe it or not, he fell on some hard times, but he used to help people with drug and alcohol addiction.
I'm sorry. I didn't know that.
I'm sorry. Just promise me next time, before you judge someone, hear them out first. Have a good day, man.
We really have no idea what someone's going through unless we ask. If we see an overweight person, we may think that they're lazy or not trying. If we see a homeless person, we may think that they're addicted to drugs or alcohol. If we see an upset child, we may think that child has bad parents. But the reality is, that overweight person may be the hardest working person around. That homeless person may have never done drugs or alcohol in their life. And that mother of the upset child might be going through something unimaginable. So instead of assuming we know someone's story, you'd be surprised as to how much you could learn if you just asked. What's up, YouTube fam? I hope you loved that video. Now it's time for some shout.
Wow. I was watching that video over and over again, and just, you can just actually close the whole screen. Yep. Cool. Thank you, Jimmy. We really don't know what another person is going through. Sometimes we might see them once a week, we might see them once a month, we might even see them every day, but we don't know what's going on in their heart, in their lives, or what they're going through at home, or even if they have a home or not. And we always go ahead and we start assuming and judging the other person for how they look or how they talk or how they act without even knowing what's going on in their life. And right away we start judging and assuming. But we don't know. Jesus knew. Jesus knew what's going on in every single other person's life, like that Samaritan woman. He knew she had 5 husbands, even though the one she was with now was not even her husband. He knew that. So he knew all of it, so he could have said something about it, but instead he didn't judge her for it. And we go ahead and we don't even know what that person's going through, and we start assuming and we judge right away. Or even if we know their full story, why are we judging them for it? Jesus didn't. Because if he did, he'd be judging you right now where you're sitting. Our story might not be the same as another person. Might not be as seem as hard, or other people start judging and thinking that person's going through that, but I'm going through something harder, so that doesn't matter. Well, maybe for you it seems harder, but for the other person, what they're going through, it's harder for them what they're going through than what you're going through. We are to love one another. We are not to judge one another. Before you look at someone and judge the other person for it, look at yourself. What can God judge you on? Instead of looking and going, oh, that person is doing this and they're going against the Bible and all this kind of stuff, so I'm going to go up to them and I'll start bashing them about it or telling them about it, trying to fully exclaim it to them. And yet you look at yourself and you're lying to everyone. You're doing all these things. You're trying to convict someone else. But the other person you really need to convict is yourself. Who am I to judge? Who am I to look at somebody who walks in and judge that person for it? It's so easy to judge. I could have showed up in sweatpants and big sweatshirt, and I'm sure someone would have looked at me and like, what the heck is she wearing? She's supposed to preach and she's showing up in sweatpants? Has she lost her mind, or is this supposed to be a point or not? Or somebody tells a little speck of our story, and then they go ahead and they start assuming this is the full story, and yet it can be super far. Like the man when he walked by and seeing the little girl saying, screaming, I don't want it. He assumed that little girl, that was her mother, that she was a bad parent because of it. Later on, finding out that actually that was her grandmother, and she just lost her daughter, and that little girl just lost her mother. We just saw a little glimpse, and he thought right away that she was a bad parent. He didn't know her circumstance, but then once he found out, he felt bad for judging her afterwards. Just like the doctor from the story I created. Which doctor are you? Will you be the doctor that will see, oh, Joshua, right away I see, oh, he's holding his knees, we need to amputate right away. Or are you going to be the doctor who's going to get to know the person, trying to find out what's actually going on, and see what the actual problem is for you to be able to fully help the other person? Because how many times have we assumed someone is going through this specific thing and then all of a sudden tried to help, but it made everything worse because we didn't know their full story? By giving bad advice or by using something biblically and then accidentally applying it incorrectly into another person's life. Because you judged and assumed the other person. And all of a sudden, accidentally, unintentionally damage that other person's walk. Because we don't know what they're going through. We don't know if you had an awful week and you come in here, or somebody new or who's already been here knows that I'm going to come to church, And I might not have looked all great, and I know that I had a bad week and everything, and I just want to come to church and feel the love and not feel judged. The moment that person walks through, they get 10 people staring at them. They feel judged already. Another person approaches them. You know, this, the Bible says you shouldn't be drinking to the point that you're drunk, but in reality, they just slipped up. And you continue using that and using that, trying to use the Bible to explain to them that it's wrong, but in reality, you're just taking the Bible and you're smacking them with it. Because where's the love in that? When we explain or use the Bible, which is the Word of God, which is true, we're not going to use it as a weapon to harm others. We're going to use it as the book which is true, which is full with the love of God. Love. Like Pastor says, everybody talks about love, love, love. Sorry, I'm talking about love. Because that's just it. If God did not love us, he wouldn't have sent his one and only son to die on the cross so that we might be set free. If Christ was not who he is, he wouldn't have went and took up the cross and died for us. Raise your hand if you're a parent here. I'm at my hand down. I'm not a parent yet. Would you send your son or daughter to be whipped and endure everything that Christ has went through and to crucify him on the cross so that the person sitting next to you, so that the people who lived before you, so that the people who aren't even born can have a chance at eternal life and have grace? Would you do it? For somebody you've never met, for a murderer, for the worst people who've done horrible things, but yet sin is a sin. Sin is a sin. God will forgive somebody who murdered someone, and God will forgive somebody who's a liar just the same. So if God is ready to forgive that person for something so horrible that we think that is the thing worst imaginable, and yet we're turning around and we're judging everybody because they showed up to preach in sweatpants, which I didn't because I didn't. I was going to do it, but then I was like, no, I want actual pants. Or because somebody is going ahead and as they're worshiping, they're sitting down instead of standing up. Because we don't know if the person actually standing up is actually thinking of other things other than worshiping. The person actually sitting down is sitting and praying and worshiping. Because we don't know what's going on in that person's mind. So who are we to judge? Who are we to go and say, that's Stephanie there? All these types of things, you know, I don't get it, you know. Start judging her because she wears ripped jeans. Or judging her because she was not standing up when we were worshiping. Or she didn't come and say hello to someone. It's so simple to look at someone and assume and judge. Very, very easy. Very easy. And start assuming that other people have specific things in mind, but you're not in that person's mind, and you don't know what's actually fully going on. Which doctor are you? Are you that weird-looking one there that seemed absolutely crazy? Or were you this one? Or were you the doctor that will actually go ahead and listen to your story and invest in that person to find out more about who they are and how you can better help them? For the past Sundays that I've been preaching and stuff, I've been preaching about how our mission as Christians is to go out and speak about God and love upon them and all these types of things, how easy it is just to say hi. Or smile and say, God bless you. How many of you are willing to take the next step and actually get to know that person and invest in that person's life? I don't have time. I don't have time to speak to that person for 20 minutes. I don't have time for that. Plus, they're fine. They're fine. There's nothing that's going on in that person's life. They're fine. You're assuming and judging, and all of a sudden something really bad happens. And you realize, ooh, I guess that person didn't have that much time. I should have taken that 20 minutes. That might have changed that person's life. To sit down and get to know one another so you know what they need. Because somebody who is addicted to drugs, addicted to alcohol, would need some advice or need some love differently than somebody who was dealing with depression and all that kind of stuff. Because sometimes certain things might not apply to us, but it might apply to another person. Going ahead and assuming that somebody is not okay or going completely against God without fully knowing the story and praying about it and leaving it in God's hands and going about it biblically because it's very easy to turn around and say, that person is doing something wrong. Look at yourself. What are you doing something wrong? Because in that moment, you're judging that person. So in reality, you're stating that that person is doing something wrong, but you're doing something wrong in return. We're not perfect. I sure ain't. I've done a whole bunch of mistakes in my life, and I've judged a whole bunch of people and then found out the real story and then felt real bad about it. Know someone. Get to know them. To know what tool and where God can use you into that person's life. Not to be the crazy doctor to see, oh, he's holding his arm, we're going to chop it off. But be the doctor who's going to go ahead and say, let's sit down, let's talk about it, and let me assess you and see what you need to do to help you. God has put you in my life for a reason. Now, what are you going to do about it? If you go ahead in John 8, verse 1. Sorry, I just have pictures. Let's put a smiley face on. There you go. Give me an amen if you found it. Then they all went home, but Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. At the dawn, he appeared again in the temple. At dawn, he appeared in the temple court where all the people gathered around with him and sat down to teach them. And then the teachers of the law and the prophecies brought in a woman caught in adultery. They made her stand before the group and said, Jesus, teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery, and the law of Moses commanded us to stone such a woman. Now, what do you say? They were using this question as a trap in order for them, in order to have a basis for accusing him. But Jesus bent down and started to write on the ground with his fingers. When he kept on questioning him, He straightened up and said to them, "Let anyone who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her." Again, he stood down and wrote on the ground. At this, those who had began to go away one at a time, the older ones first, until only Jesus was left, with the woman still standing there. Jesus stared up at her and asked her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" "No one, sir," she said. "Then neither do I condemn you." Jesus declared, "Go now and live your life of sin." Leave your life of sin. Every single one of them left because they sinned so they couldn't cast the stone. Jesus was the only one who could, and yet he didn't. Yet he told her to leave and go and leave her life of sin. He was the only one who could throw the stone. He could have judged her. He could have went ahead and said, "You were caught in adultery. This is what this is. This is the punishment." And he could have just chucked the stone at her. But he didn't. Because of how much love and grace he had for the other. There's nobody on this planet right now that if we were in that same situation, nobody could have thrown a stone. Because we've all sinned. And we're all broken, and the only way we're perfect is that we're perfectly imperfect. So we must be careful whenever we go ahead and we start judging the other person and what we do after we do. So it's not just doing the act of judging, is what do you do once you've judged someone? Or assume the other person's situation. Are you going to go ahead and assume and judge and chop the other person's arm off? Or are you going to get to know that person more and know their story and know what they're going through in order for you to be fully equipped to know, oh, actually, we didn't have to chop your arm off. This is what you can do, and I'm here to help. If we go on to James chapter 4, verse 1. Give me an amen if you're there. Submit yourself to God. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desire, that battle within you? You desire, but not have, so you kill. You covet, but you cannot get what you want. So you quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. When you ask, you do not receive, because you've asked with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world means enmity against God? Therefore, anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Or do you think Scripture says without reason that he jealously longs for the Spirit he has caused to dwell in us? But he gives us more grace. That is, with Scripture says, That is why scripture says, God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. Submit yourself, then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, your sinners, and purify your hands. You double-minded, grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning, and your joy to gloom. Humble yourself before the Lord, and he will lift you up. Brothers and sisters, do not slander one another. Anyone who speaks against a brother or a sister or judges them speaks against the law and judges it. Then you judge the law. You are not keeping it, but sitting on judgment on it. There is only one lawgiving and judge, the one who is able to save and destroy. The one who are you judging, but you who are judging your neighbor. We must submit ourselves to God. We not must be proud that I know all this about the Bible and this person does it and I think this is what they're going through, so I'm just going to shove it all out there for them. And then accidentally, you chop their arm off like the doctor. Get to know them. You have that knowledge. You know Christ. You're going to get to know them to see what they need and what and where and what God is going to use you in their life. So we're not Jesus. We don't know what's going on in your life, or anybody else's lives. I might know you so well, but I don't know what you're thinking. I don't know what you're dealing with mentally, emotionally, physically, or spiritually. Get to know the other person so that God, after you know them, may fully equip you so that he can use you in that person's life. Instead of being the doctor who doesn't know and go ahead and says, I know this, let's chop your arm off and accidentally do that. Getting to know the other person. Because brothers and sisters, do not slander one another. Another who speaks against a brother or judges them speaks against the law and judges it. When you judge the law, you are not keeping it, but sitting in judgment on it. There is only one lawgiver and judge, the one who is able to save and destroy. But you, who are you to judge your neighbor? The one sitting next to you, the one you walk by on the street, the one who walks into church, the one you see in the store, the one you see anywhere, who are we to judge? Sometimes we judge without even knowing, but once we see ourselves judging, catch yourself in the act and do something about it. Realize, oh, I just judged this person. God, forgive me. Let me get to know this person in order to fully understand. And it might not just be you giving examples of the Bible or you showing all these types of things. It could just be as simple as you knowing that person, having that relationship. God shines through you. You love them and you pray for them and they come to Christ. Not by them sitting in a church and hearing a sermon, because that might not work for them. You don't know their story. But by you simply sitting down and taking the time to know one another, to love one another, taking the time to have God, who is in you, shine through you and touch the other person's life. How many times do we stop that because we start judging that person and assuming other things in the other person's life, and then all of a sudden, you just miss an opportunity that God has brought you to just love that person, to get to know them. Because who knows what they're going through? Who knows? And who knows that by you taking the time and listening to the story could make the biggest change in their life. Like in the video, giving the jump rope to the little girl made such a big difference. Giving the food and the money to the homeless guy made such a big difference. Or even just speaking to them. Every single one of them afterwards is so happy that he took the time to listen to who and what they're going through instead of judging them and walking past. We need to love one another. And yes, no matter how many times we will stop trying to judge, at one point we will judge or assume something in someone else's life. We just got to catch ourselves in it, ask forgiveness. And the big question is what do you do after? What do you do? Are you going to get to know the person and pray and have God use you in the way he wants to use you? And you knowing what they need? Instead of chopping their arm off like the other doctor wanted to, within seeing them and not fully knowing what the situation and what happened? Or the doctor that went ahead and got to know what happened and actually checked and the arm got better and he still had his arm. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you and praise you that no matter how many times we've sinned or what we've done or what we are doing in our lives, what we will do, Lord, that you still don't turn your face away from us, that you still love us, that you still want us. And I pray that we don't start judging other people or assume other things in other people's lives, Lord, but I pray that if we do, you convict us on it and that we start changing it and asking forgiveness and do something about it. And then once we know their story, not to judge them afterwards or not to turn their back away from them. And I just pray that we just continue loving one another, Lord, so that we might shine. We might shine you, God. Because we don't know who you've put in our lives as to why and where and what specific time. And we just want to thank you and praise you, Lord God, that you give us opportunities to shine you, God, to speak into other people's lives, Lord. And I pray that whenever we do speak into other people's lives, it's not of our own selfish pride that we're proud because we know all these biblical things, but we speak into the other person's life, Lord, because we love them and that's what you've put on our hearts to speak about them because we know that this is what they're going through and that this is what they need, Lord. We just thank you and praise you for how great and big and powerful and wonderful God you are. How you love us even though we fail you every single day. That you still will forgive us. Forgive us no matter what we do. In Jesus' name, amen.